Good afternoon, everybody. We've got 2 minutes until we're officially going. Wait, let me start that over. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Chris Curry from Iowa State University. How are you all doing? Good. All right. For the presenters in the room, just to give you an idea of how we'll run, I'll have a stopwatch. We've got 15 minutes per presentation. When I start introducing you and unload the presentation, that's when I'm going to be hitting start. I'll raise up my hand and give you a 3-minute warning. I will stand up at 1 minute, and I will charge at 0 minutes. So that's how we'll just kind of run through this. So we've got 1 minute. Thanks, Brian. Just got real serious.
Yeah.
Science time. No, yeah, just a little bit of levity.
Worried you're going to charge us all of a sudden. It's just kind of intimidating.
You should have seen it before I trimmed my beard. It was even more intimidating. All right, I'd like to welcome our first speaker, Brian Pearson from the University of Florida.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. As Chris said, I'm Brian Pearson from the University of Florida, located at the Mid-Florida Research and Education Center in Apopka. So just outside of Orlando, so we have ASHS 2020, about 20 minutes north of where we're meeting in 2 more years. So I want to talk today about some work we've done over the last 2 years, growth in strobile yield among 20 hop cultivars using a traditional tall trellis production system in Florida. Hops, this is one of my favorite plants, mostly because of what it's used for in beer production. It is a long-lived, short-day, perennial herbaceous crop that's cultivated for its strobiles, or what's commonly referred to as the cones of the plant. It's primarily used in production of beer for flavoring and aroma, but also used as a sedative and preservative. And it's this last point that it was first used in. Late 800s AD, modern-day Germany, hops were put into place and used in place of herbs that were local to Germany, and they found that it helped as a preservative so the beer wouldn't spoil as quickly. Fast forward to today, where we have different production techniques, preservation techniques. Still works as a preservative, especially if you're a home brewer, but it's mostly used to for bittering and for aroma. So for those of you that like India Pale Ales or IPAs, that bitterness and some of those aromas that are referred to as resiny or described as resin, piney, fruity, citrus, those are the hops that you're tasting. Interestingly enough, it's also used as a sedative. So if you go to over-the-counter sedative medications to help with insomnia, you'll find hops in there. When you take a two-dimensional cross-section of that strobilar cone, it's the lupulin glands that are producing those compounds, that yellow color. If you've ever seen one, lift up the bracts. It's sticky, it's resiny, and it smells delicious if you like beer. Where are hops currently cultivated? Washington State, by far. 75% of domestic production occurs in the state of Washington, 13% in Idaho, 11% in Oregon, and all other states only 1%. Which is actually pretty amazing when you realize the Great Lake hops, how much acreage is under production in that region. When we step back and look at international or global production, the United States leads at 40% in 2017, followed by Germany at 33%, Czech Republic, again a large producer, 9%, the rest of Europe, with the exception of Czech Republic, 8%, and lastly China at 4%. Now, in Idaho, Oregon, and Washington, if you're much of a beer person or hop person, they've broken records for the amount of acreage in production. Just due to demand. And there's been a large increase in demand because there's been a large shift in the beer styles being consumed, largely here by Americans. Now, the amount of hops per beer style is the best chart I could find and illustrates it well. When we look at lagers, so this is your Miller Lite's Budweiser products, Coors, they use approximately 0.19 pounds per barrel, a barrel being 31 gallons, or 86 grams per 117 liters. When we contrast that to IPAs and some of our imperial ales, like our imperial stouts, porters, and imperial IPA, an IPA uses 1 pound or 0.45 kilograms per 117 liters, and an imperial IPA uses 1.7 kilograms per 117 liters. Drastic difference. And due to some of these shifts in popularity and consumer preferences, we're seeing increased demand for hops, not only in volume, but even a difference in some of the cultivars based on some of their profiles. Like I said earlier, the piney, citrusy, resiny ones have become more popular in production. So where exactly does Florida fit in on all of this? Well, hops production in Florida a couple years ago didn't exist, but we like to drink beer there. Florida is now the third largest state in the nation as far as population. We produced 1.4 million barrels last year, which is the fourth largest nationally. We've got 243 breweries in operation, which is the 10th largest, with another 100 expected to open within the year. And in 2016, this contributed $3.1 billion in economic impacts. However, none of those ingredients in our commercial beer production that goes into beer is from Florida. And as you may know, one of the biggest crazes with craft beer is also this localism, having local products being used in things such as craft beer. Now, within this image, I also have the latitudes overlaying the United States, because this is a very important point that will then make sense with some of our yield. If you look into non-peer-reviewed literature, but extension information, you'll find that 35 to 55 degrees north latitude is the ideal recommended range for production of hops because of the photo period. At Florida, we're at 28 degrees. We knew ahead of time this was going to be a challenge, but didn't know how much of a challenge and how much of this reduced day length, in the summer particularly, this was going to affect our yields. So what we were trying to do was look at a tall trellis production system, tall trellis being 6 meters. We have done work since 2011 with short trellis systems, 3 meter tall. And the 6 meter tall system, we looked at Darby and literature, we could expect a 26% to 80% reduction in yield just going from that 6 meter height down to 3 meter height. 3 meter trellis does have some advantages. It's not as tall. It's a lot easier to get up, to harvest the hops, to inspect them, to spray for them, and it's also lower cost. But we ended up being able to do this through a grant. And so the objective was, what is the influence of hop cultivar on hop strobial yield and also quality? So for our methods, we had 2 years of production, year one, July through October 2016, and year two, April through August. Neither were ideal years. Year one, our grant funding came in late. We were hoping to have everything transplanted by March. We got it in July. So really essentially an establishment period. Year two, we were doing good up until the end of August. And any of you that live in Florida or have family or friends in the southeast, Hurricane Irma came ripping through our state and defoliated the vast majority of our plants and terminated the experiment slightly early that year. But again, such is research. We looked at 20 different cultivars that we transplanted into 5 rows as a randomized complete block design with 1 meter spacing between plants. First year, 2016, used controlled release fertilizer, and in 2017, upgraded to a fertigation system. We measured height, strobile yield, bittering acid and volatile oil analysis, and also looked at descriptive analysis with our folks in the Food and Human Nutrition Department where we had a test panel. First data, vine height. This is sort of a messy graph, but this demonstrates the variability that we saw in vine height amongst these 20 cultivars. And the two major trends off of this is the rapid growth that we see between May and June. It carries through July, which helps us identify and also make recommendations when we have to be careful and really look at fertility needs of the plant. And two, the bigger thing looking at is the height. A 6 meter tall trellis, we didn't capitalize and use all of that extra height based on our plants in 2017. I don't believe we need a 6 meter tall trellis system, at least not plants that are at least a year old, although this may vary as the plants get older. We look into yield in this reddish color is our 2016 data, and in the yellow goldish color our 2017. And again, we had a very short season the first year, more representative in 2017. And overall, the trends, we saw an increase in yield coming from our plants from 2016 to 17, and a large jump in two cultivars in particular, our Cascade and our Northern Brewer. But where we really start to have to look at and compare against is our yield when we're looking at total yield based on acreage, or in this case, hectares. So I picked 4 of the cultivars, and getting information from other states is actually a lot harder than what it sounds like. Oftentimes, people report pounds per acre or kilograms per hectare. They don't tell you how many plants are in that hectare or that acre. So this is at least reliable data that I was able to pull off from colleagues. In Florida, we had 1-year-old plants. Our Cascade was our best performer at 109 kilograms per hectare. North Carolina, Janine Davis, our 2-year-old plants, she was able to pull about double that at her best at 230. And we get up into Ohio, we see a massive increase, and we're moving, of course, as I'm going from left to right here, moving higher up in terms of latitude, a longer photo period, allowing the plants to grow vegetatively longer before going into flowering as a short-day plant. So in Ohio, we cross over 1,000 kilograms per hectare. In the Pacific Northwest, over 2,000 kilograms per hectare. What this actually means, though, in terms of our growers, and we get to the economics of this, annual production costs, so not including the infrastructure installation, we're looking at about $7,500 per hectare and an annual recurring cost just for producing hops. Looking at $31 a kilogram, which is pretty average for a pelletized dried hop, we have a break-even point, zero profit, at approximately 426 kilograms per hectare. We're 300 kilograms short in Florida so far. So that tells us a couple things. One, economically, large commercial growers, not there yet. We have to at least reach so we're breaking even. And after that, it gives us a target at which we should attain. And so this will be the focus of our upcoming research. This is a busy table, so I'll try to walk us through it to have it make sense. Alpha and beta acids. These are the acids that are contributing to the bitterness. This is what balances that sweetness that we get from our malted barley in our beer. These numbers are numbers that our brewers look at constantly when they're brewing so that they're balancing the beer to make the right target sweetness to bitterness. And it changes by year and also varies a lot by cultivar. So I've got our alpha acids and our reference values. Our reference values are values for these hops, the most current ones from the Pacific Northwest, and our beta acids. When we look at our alpha acids, our Comet, Amelia, Cascade, and T-Maker, all were within the ranges that we see similar to the Pacific Northwest. And Amelia is the only one that had the beta acids within that range, which is arguably a good thing. Beta acids do contribute to bitterness after the beer has been bottled and on the shelf, but it can also lead to off flavors with time. When we jump to our descriptive analysis, and so we did look for volatile analysis, look at the volatile oil profiles. However, well, these hops also went on to another stage. A student by the name of Sean Krieger at the Food and Human Nutrition Department, UF, then had a panel, 13 panelists come in that he trained and evaluated the aromas of our hops and compared that against standards. They were described as either citrusy, hay-like, earthy, caramel, or fruity. And then the top four here in the dark grayish color, we had a standard, so we selected four that were popular, especially for American IPAs, our Citra, Mosaic, Cascade, and Columbus, and compared them against these. And again, to work through this data and look for overall trends, our Amelia, Comet, and Neo One cultivars all possessed high citrus aroma characteristics. So for those that were interested in using our hops, or a brewer that was looking at making an IPA that was citrusy, these would be the ones that we'd recommend, at least initially based on this data. However, the overarching trend was how many possessed a hay-like or earthy aroma and characteristic. Now, these can be used in certain, again, styles of beer, or they may be used at a different time during the brewing process. So they'd be used for contributing bitterness, or for certain flavors, or in the case of aromas, late additions, if you were trying to highlight and showcase this. Earthy aromas are common, especially in English-style ales, mild ales, brown ales, or stouts. So again, we have application and at least can make some basic recommendations from the grower to the brewer on how we may utilize them. In conclusion, from the data and what we saw in the last 2 years, cultivation of hops for homeowner landscapes, aka homebrewers like myself, is really supported mostly with our Cascade and Northern Brewer. And to put that in terms of volume, homebrewer, 5 gallons is usually the common size we're brewing with. We'll use 7 to 14 pounds of barley, 3/4 of an ounce to 4 ounces of hops. And so for a homeowner landscape, quite well. Furthermore, back that up with downy mildew. That's a question we get frequently. We have high humidity in Florida. Amazingly, we have not seen downy mildew since 2011 in our state. So again, at least for the homeowner, fungicides don't appear to be necessary yet, yet being the underlying all bold word. Hops cultivation, as we step up from the backyard homebrewer and then going into an agritourism, we have seen some agritourism operations that began to grow hops to attract people to these places and have partnerships with breweries to do showcase beers or special batches. It is likely, but as long as the agritourist isn't trying, agritourism owner-operator isn't trying to make all of their money on hops, again, it's possible. But for large-scale commercial hop cultivation, not profitable, not close yet. And so I don't recommend production of it for commercial value until we can get those numbers up, of which will likely require breeding efforts. We have had some success with manipulation of the environment, but we're increasing our production costs at the same time, mostly using lights and photo interruption. And so with that, I've got a few minutes for questions. Thank you guys for your attention. And the lower right-hand side, we ended up doing a release, special release with our Hopka hops that we grew. and the PR, especially for an extension purpose, is really great. We've had a lot of good positive feedback. We invited our administration down to this one. It was close to our main campus, and they sold 31 gallons out in 20 minutes. And my administration, I was able to help convince them that we're not just doing beer for fun, but there actually is an interest out there in the marketplace for it. So thank you. Yes?
Are there any wild hops from more southerly latitudes?
Excellent question. New Mexicanas hops. There are hops from the southwestern desert, Arizona, Utah, New Mexico. They aren't very popular in the commercial brewers coming out of the Pacific Northwest because they don't do well there. They are very susceptible to downy mildew, for what I understand. We did try some of those. They have great volatile profiles in terms of yield. They weren't significantly better, but those are the ones that have a lot of interest to us because of the variety, and we've got in some of the seeds from the seed bank to evaluate more of them.
So it's a different species in the same genus?
Subspecies, I believe. Same genus and species. That I'm not sure. I know a little bit about them.
Do we think they're crossable?
That's a great question. I'm not a breeder, but I'm working with a breeder that could answer that.